Hey, y'all, and welcome to our fifth and final day of our Halloween week here on Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea. Hope you've enjoyed the last 4 days of stories that we've brought you. And happy Halloween, Lark.
Happy Halloween-y, Cam! I'm so excited to hear your story today. I do not know about what you're going to talk about.
Well, then that's good. You'll be surprised like everybody else. Well, not everybody else, because this story has been done before, but I'm going to come at it from a little bit of a different angle, I think.
Well, that's pretty cool. But, you know, I can be the last one to the party very often. So I'm excited. It's all new.
But today we're going to talk about McCamey Manor, which is an extreme haunt. I'm going to let you know a little bit about it and a little bit about the creator, Russ McCamey.
Cool.
We all know about haunted houses. I've been to a few. How about you?
It is not my thing, but when I was in college, there was a fraternity that made all of their philanthropic donations and money off of a once a year Halloween haunted house. So I'm familiar with them. Just not my thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of charities do that. Mm-hmm. There used to be one in Memphis. I can't remember if it was for St. Jude or who the charity was, but in that one, you had to run down a second story hallway and jump out of a window onto a mattress.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
You know, I never did anything like that because I guess I'm really kind of chicken-y at heart, but chicken heart. But yeah, I mean, the concept is fun. So anyway.
Well, that seems kind of scary, but that's really a kiddie bounce house compared to this place I'm going to talk about today. Now, there are quite a few of these places out there all over the country. There's one called Scare House in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and another one called Herding in Los Angeles, and Castle of Chaos in Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. and lots of others. Chicago, New York, they all have their big haunts that people mm-hmm. go to. And there's one that goes all over the country called Blackout. But mm-hmm. evidently, because of all the hubbub, I'm assuming that none of them holds a candle to McCamey Manor. There are thousands of signatures all over the place on petitions trying to shut the place down, and there have been for years.
Good grief. Why?
Well, this is a year-round extreme haunt, and it operates only on the weekends, and only one or two people are allowed in at any one time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And now McCamey Manor is the brainchild of Russ McCamey. This guy spent 22 years in the Navy. And afterward worked at the VA as an advocate for veterans.
Oh.
And in 2000, he started having haunted houses for kids at Halloween.
Oh, nice guy.
Then he decided in about 2010 to ramp it up to adult shows and opened his first McCamey Manor in San Diego, California.
Okay.
It was a success. And it operated only during the Halloween season at first with extreme haunts and a 10-page waiver that you signed when you went in.
Which no one reads, I'm sure.
Probably not at the time anyway. But, you know, at any one time, he'd have up to 23 actors volunteering to participate as, you know, the people doing the tortures and stuff. But the problem was started when he decided to take it to an all-year venue. He couldn't do that in his residential neighborhood because up until then, he'd been doing this thing in his house in his backyard. So,
That's commitment.
So he found a handful of locations around the city, and he and his partner at the time, Carol Schultz, pooled their savings and decorated the first place. It cost quite a bit, I think.
I can imagine.
But every weekend show cost $500 to produce, and McCamey saved his earnings as a veterans advocate at Camp Pendleton and as a wedding singer, of all things.
I love it.
To pay for this $500 set up every weekend.
So that's $2,000 a month, right?
Roughly, yeah.
Okay.
And I should probably mention at this point that he was a theater arts major in college mm-hmm. and used to throw these horror shows on ships while they were at sea.
Fun.
When he was laid off from his Camp Pendleton job, he reached out to the horror community. I guess there's a big one out there that I didn't realize. And he asked for help to keep his shows going. He was offered a 10,000 square foot warehouse in Illinois and started to move all of his equipment there. Now, this guy had big equipment, like equipment from amusement parks and things like that, you know, was using to do these scares. He estimated it was going to cost him $60,000 to move everything to Illinois, where this place was in McLeansboro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the plan when he moved there was to start a for-profit business with this extreme haunt as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Up until this time, the price of admission had been 4 cans of dog food or a bag of dog food for his greyhound rescue that he operated.
Oh, that's so awesome.
But his dream in Illinois never happened. Mm. When the people of the town of McLeanville caught wind of the now infamous haunt coming to their town, bad things started to happen. His warehouse was vandalized. Windows were shot out, bricks thrown through the windows too. And groups of people started hanging out outside praying in front of the building and protesting in front of the building.
Hmm.
They slashed the tires of the warehouse owner, Patricia Irvin, and shot her windows out.
Oh my.
So basically people were going nuts over something they really had no personal knowledge of, just some YouTube videos. And this was
Sounds
in 2015.
Familiar.
This is in 2015.
Uh-huh.
And they threatened to burn down the building. So Irvin pulled out of the contract and used some excuse about him not putting in sprinkler system like he said he would or something like that.
Mm.
And it took him a couple of years, but he finally found a place in Summertown, Tennessee, and it's been located there since 2017.
Oh, cool.
Now, it's no lie that this is a very extreme experience. They do stuff like pour stuff on you, like blood-looking stuff, and they shove you around, and they might shave your head.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, my gosh.
Or hand you a pair of pliers and tell you to pull your own tooth.
Wow.
Allegedly, because I don't know if anybody, I think he confirmed that somebody lost a tooth. But anyway, I'll get to that. But
okay.
The reason only one to two people go in at a time is that they cater the show toward your biggest fears.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So if you're afraid of water, they make sure you get a lot of it.
There you go. Yep.
And I guess they find all this information out during the 2 hours that they go over their 40-page waiver with you. So now it's from a 10-page waiver to a 40-page waiver with lots of questions. And we'll have a couple of pages, pictures of those pages, some of them that I found online.
Wow.
On our blog. But
wow.
They sit down and go over it line by line to make sure you have heard and understood the experience that they provide for you.
Wow.
They're told at that time how to get out of certain situations, but it's up to them to remember how to do it when they're scared and running and everything would go out of my head completely if I had to try to remember
out.
It.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get to put two things in the contract that they absolutely cannot do to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would surprise me if they didn't go ahead and do them anyway. But, you know, you get the comfort of putting two things in there that they can't do to you.
That's probably the ultimate thing that gets done to you, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Oh, this is the cherry on the cake right before they bail out of the room. Oh, wow.
You have to have a doctor's approval for your visit and a psyche eval.
Oh,
and
wow.
Although in the past they didn't, these days they allow you to have a safe word to use so you can leave the experience immediately. A lot of folks claim it wasn't immediate. They said their safe word several times before they got left out. But I have a feeling they were so scared that the 10 seconds they took to get them out seemed like an hour. You know?
Probably. Yeah.
It would to me. Because that 10 seconds would go by really slow while I waited for them to stop it and get me out of there.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I could have probably done it 30 years ago.
No, never.
But there's no way, no how that I could do it today.
It will never happen. Never, ever happen. I mean, never.
Now, McKamey claims he uses hypnosis to make the experience even scarier than it really is for the contestant. I'm not sure I buy that because I'm not much on hypnosis.
Well, you know, he's just psyching everybody out before it even warms up.
Of course he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to point out a word that's used consistently in every bit of the research that I did, and that's contestant.
Oh, interesting.
These people really are contestants in a reality show, if you want to get right down to it, to see if they can make it all the way through the manor. And a show can last up to 10 hours.
What?
So
that's a long time to be up in there.
Yeah, and they do 2 shows per Saturday and Sunday, so 4 shows on the weekends. And he calls them shows.
What?
He doesn't call them anything. He calls them shows. That's what he calls them when he talks about them.
I'm starting to think about something here, but go on.
Now, at one point, he offered a show called Desolation. And if you made it through that, you could earn up to $20,000. And I say up to because $500 was deducted for every challenge you failed. Mm-hmm. And every time you said a curse word.
Well, I'm done, period. I'll owe them money.
Evidently, this guy doesn't swear or drink or smoke or curse. And he doesn't expect his contestants to curse in the shows because he records these.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, even if I made it through it, there'd be no money left.
Oh, no. I would be owing him. Take my swear jar. Here it is.
But he's taken that show off the tables now. There's no more $20,000. With the pandemic, he said, because I listened to an interview with him about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the 16th, I believe. And with the pandemic, it became hard to hire as many actors as before to populate the shows because of social distance rules and because of capacity rules.
Right.
So he's had to cut back. So now he still operates The Abyss and The Descent.
Mm-hmm.
And he claims people can make it through the manor now because it's been tamed down to the limit on the number of people who can be in the venue at one time. And that cuts down on the number of scares he can do and the number of people he can have to participate in it.
Wow.
He said this has happened to a lot of the haunts, the extreme haunts. So the business is suffering maybe a little bit. But he makes it a point. He loves haunted houses and has since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it a point to attend several every week during the season. So he's still out there looking for stuff, I bet.
Yeah, looking for new angles, new things to freak you out.
Yeah. Wow. Things that people are doing that he can take and make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Now, there's a rumor out there that there's a waiting list of 25 or so thousand people to visit this manor. Now, he says he doesn't believe there's that many, but he's not sure. But he said that's how many people who are on his online group who want to participate in some way, whether it's as a guest or an actor. And he calls all these people actors.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he was a theater arts major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He claims he gets about 100 requests a day from people to volunteer because the actors are voluntary. They're not paid, so to volunteer or to come and go through the manor. So he's a busy guy answering all those calls, fielding all that information. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because, you know, Lark's always calculating the money. Why and how much is he making? I mean, is he taking
this? He's not making anything.
Okay.
He claims he's not making anything, unless he's making something off of his YouTube videos that he posts, because he records all these.
Okay.
And he puts them together like films.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And then he uploads them to YouTube.
So. They're probably signing waivers that they are going to release that he can use this too, right?
I'm sure that's in the 40-page waiver, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I might have missed this part, but did you say there's only two people that go in at a time?
One to two. You can go in as an individual or as a team of two. No more.
Okay. So. And yet is it still costing, you think, $500 a weekend? So he must
I don't know how much it costs. He hasn't gone into what it costs now. That was when it was operated in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, the last time that happened was at least 5 years ago.
You see what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah, how's he paying for it?
Well, yeah, and to what end? And you know, is this just your kick? Is this your kink? And, you know, do you think that there's some really bad stuff that's maybe going down on the dark web side? Or I'm just being a devil's advocate here.
Yeah. There are claims to that effect, and there are Facebook pages that are vehemently against him, calling him a torturer and all of this other stuff. I'm not sure if any of that is true, because like I said, he calls them shows, and there's so many, you know, it seems to me like all these actors volunteering,
right?
You know, they claim they aren't actors. They're people who like to torture other people. So that's why they're coming to do it. But I can't believe that's true about everybody.
Well, I think there's probably a combination of all that that's in there. But, you know, one of the first things I was thinking when you started out the story was, do you remember a long time ago? I don't know if this is a story. I think it just was a story. I don't think it ever actually happened. But it was a story somewhere where these people had a similar business to what he's doing, but it was more like your fantasy. You could go and pay for your total geisha fantasy for a week, or, you know, if you wanted to be a Polynesian king, or, you know what I'm saying? That they built this whole world around whatever your fantasy was. And of course, it cost a ton of money, but it was the actors and everything. And then you went and you experienced this. And I thought,
I could say it's probably something very similar to that. Personally, I think that's what it is. But he says there's no torture involved in the shows. I that's debatable on what you term torture, but he pointed out that if that were the case, he'd be in jail.
Well, yeah.
He'd have been shut down.
Yeah. Yeah,
he'd have been shut down a long time ago, because, you know, they're going to get wind of that and they're going to go investigate and see. And also, because there were two newspaper reporters in California who went through this house, one from LA Times and one from San Diego, I think it's Tribune. They went through this house and thought it was a great experience.
Oh, cool. Well,
they didn't make it very long in it, but they thought it was a great experience. But so he says there's no torture involved, and he pointed out, like I said, that he would be in jail if there were, and the show would have been shut down a long time ago. He's gone through every single part of the shows to make sure it's scary and safe. Someone did lose a tooth one time, he said. At one point, they may hand you a pair of pliers and tell you to pull out your own tooth. So if somebody's dumb enough to do that,
Yeah.
I guess they're welcome too. That's just a personal choice there, in my opinion.
I think so too. I think so. Gilly.
But I have no doubts this is most likely one of the scariest haunts out there. I don't know how much longer it'll last with all the petitions and all the people protesting it to shut it down. As far as I could find, it's never been a for-profit business, but rather, like I said, the donation of dog food to feed his hordes of hellhounds because he likes to rescue dogs. He has a lot of them. My conclusion about this whole thing is I think he's probably the greatest showman since P.T. Barnum.
And as P.T. Barnum says, there's a sucker born every minute.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he films each experience, as he calls it, and posts it with his own narration, like a movie, with credits and everything, on YouTube. So you can go out there, search it, and see all the stuff on it, and all of the negative stuff, too, because, of course, there's negative stuff out there with people complaining. But I think he really is. He's retired now from the military, and he has really decided to pursue his original thing, which is haunted houses and acting and directing. And this is his venue.
Hey, why not? I mean, you know what? If that's your dream, I say go for it, because there's somebody that's gonna facilitate you no matter what. And as long as he's not really hurting anybody, which it doesn't sound like he is. I mean, come on. He's not kidnapping people.
I've seen claims that somebody died there, but there was someone that died in another show, and I can't remember the name of it. But nobody's ever died at his shows. I did see an interview with his daughter, who says she hasn't had contact with him for 10 years. I think since she was about 12 or 13. She said he's a very loving person, and there's no truth to the rumors that he might be a pedophile. But she says he's mentally ill and verbally abusive when she was a kid. But I'm wondering how much of that's really true, because she seemed to only remember it after her stepmother told her that after they divorced. You know how kids can be. You don't really remember, but you kind of recall something. And if somebody fills in the blanks for you.
Right.
I don't know. But I don't know. He may be. For all I don't know the guy. He could be. But I really don't think this is what people play it up to be. And I think them playing it up to be, I think he eats that up, because that's more publicity for his show.
Sure. I mean, it's just like being in a horror film. I mean, I never understood horror a long time ago, and which is the irony, because now I've written horror, as you know. But a friend of mine told me, I said, well, why do you like this weird stuff? It's so creepy. Because we'd gone to see, I want to say, the Day of the Dead, the old one, Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, there's just this release of
feel good stuff, endorphins, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I get it now. So I'm sure that
it's adrenaline too.
Yeah. There's
you're
always
scared
gonna
to
be.
Death. It's adrenaline. So it's going to make you feel good.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be people that like that stuff. That's why they like roller coasters. It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's scary.
For now, I'm going to think it's just a really good show that's well produced and promoted heavily. Because like I said, he puts on a show and he films every person that goes through, or about every person that goes through. And all of this negative publicity is publicity. Like they always say, no such thing as bad publicity.
Exactly.
Also, he hires all these actors, and I sometimes wonder how many of them were really contestants in those videos and how many were actors.
Right.
And part of that little sign, that 40-page waiver, is that you won't discuss your experience after you leave.
Wow.
Unless he specifically asks you to. So
wouldn't it be interesting to talk to the lawyer that wrote up that waiver?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody had to write it up. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. But I did see one video with a woman. It was about a 10-minute video that he had asked her to do, and about her experience there. And she had her head shaved and one eyebrow shaved off.
Oh, God.
She had bruises. She had bruises everywhere on her arms and legs. But she said it was a great experience. I really loved it.
Well, you know what? She probably never even felt the bruises for the adrenaline, like you say, but yeah. It's worse to get half your head shaved than what do you got to do? I got to shave the other half.
They shaved the whole thing, according to her, and then they shaved one of her eyebrows off.
Oh.
It looked like. She didn't say they shaved that eyebrow off, but you could tell it was penciled on. So,
piece of electric tape over her left eye. Is that what you're saying?
The good news for her is she looked good with shaved head. So she looked like a little pixie.
But, no.
But she lasted. Guess how long she lasted? This little tiny girl.
Oh, okay. If she's okay, I'm going to give her 5 hours.
No, she lasted 45 minutes.
Oh, well.
But she's planning on doing it again.
I don't know
because
how
she enjoyed
could.
It that much.
Well, I don't know how anybody could do it more than, you know, an hour, because your heart would be, how could you stay that high for so long, you know?
Oh, I know. But he said it's been tamed down enough now that people can make it through. So, you know,
well, that sure
I would like to go, like I said, if I were maybe 30 years younger.
No.
Without a bum knee and a, you know,
no, ma'am.
Gout in my foot or whatever.
No, ma'am.
Oh, I love haunted houses. So I'd have to go.
Well, you can take my share, okay?
But I really just think this is, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this because a lot of people really believe that it's a torture chamber and he's an evil guy and he's doing all this stuff to people. But I really just think it's a big show and he's a showman. Like I said, P.T. Barnum, but for
yeah.
Extreme haunted houses.
Look, they wouldn't come if they didn't want to experience it. They know what they're getting.
Even if they, you know, my point of view is you signed a 40-page waiver and I'm sure somewhere in 40 pages they told you what it was going to be like.
Well, exactly.
And they asked you what your greatest fear was going to be, you know.
Hey, how many chicken exits are there in Disney, right?
Right.
You've got plenty of time to get out, I have no doubt. Mm-hmm.
Well, they do have a safe word, like I said, but you know, some people say, I used my safe word and it took them a long time to get me out of there, but I'm sure it didn't take as long as it felt like because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
where 15 seconds seems like 10 minutes, you know?
Tell me about your safe word, Kim. Oh my God!
Now,
this is
like
news
I said, get
me.
get your mind out of the gutter. I have to dig it out every show. I'm talking haunted houses here. Get with the subject matter.
Oh, you said safe
Jeez.
Word. I didn't.
Jeez, but I already talked about the safe word earlier. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Miss Cannon. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Like I said, my conclusion, it's just one big show that, you know, people want to protest and he loves that, I'm sure. So,
yeah. Oh, for God's sake, people, let somebody have a little fun once in a while. Life's too hard. Anyway, so y'all go out and have a great time.
And tomorrow's Halloween, so go out and get you some candy and whatever else you want to get. And
exactly.
You know, and have a good time because it's our favorite holiday.
It is.
And we hope you've enjoyed this week of shows and that you will come back to see us next Tuesday.
Yeah, see y'all soon.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.